Welcome back to D&B College. In this lesson, we're rebuilding a jungle voltage-style bassline turn in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the proper way. Not just as a random fill, but as a real phrase event, the kind of bass movement that tells the listener something's about to shift. That distinction matters a lot in drum and bass. A strong turn doesn't just decorate the loop. It changes the energy of the phrase. It leans into the next bar. It gives the drums something to bounce off. And in dark jungle, rolling D&B, and heavier dancefloor stuff, that's exactly what makes the bass line feel alive instead of looped. So first thing, don't start with the bass. Start with the drums. Build or load a simple 2-bar drum frame in Ableton. Kick, snare, hats, maybe a break layer if that's part of your style. Keep the snare clear on 2 and 4. Make sure the kick pattern leaves room for the low end to speak. If your drum loop is already crowded, simplify it before you write the bass. Why this works in D&B is simple. The bass turn has to answer the drums. If the pocket is unclear, the turn just sounds decorative. What to listen for here is whether the snare still feels like the anchor, and whether there's a clean pocket where the bass can speak without fighting the kick or the snare tail. Once the drums are locked, sketch a very simple rolling bass phrase over 2 bars. Keep it tight, one root note for most of the loop, then a small movement at the end for tension. Don't overthink the sound design yet. You're writing phrasing first. A good starting point is short note lengths, maybe around 8ths and 16ths depending on the tempo. Keep the range narrow. Let bar 1 stay stable so the listener has a reference. Then bar 2 becomes the turn. That contrast is the whole trick. And that's one of the big lessons in jungle-informed bass writing. Clarity beats constant motion. The ear locks onto repetition first. Then it notices the deviation. So the less flashy part needs to be solid before the turn can hit properly. Now build the turn at the edge of the phrase, not all the way through it. Usually that means the last beat or last half bar of bar 2. That's where the bass can pivot into the next phrase. You can hold the core note, then add a short pickup, an octave jump, or a tighter release right before the loop resets. There are 2 useful approaches here. One is the upright turn. That's where the bass stays centered, disciplined, and mostly mono. The movement comes from note choices and timing, not from width. This is perfect if your drums are already busy and you want the bass to feel heavy and controlled. The other is the widened mid-turn. In that version, the sub stays mono, but the mid-bass layer opens up a little more on the turn. That gives you a more aggressive, modern edge. Use this if you want a bigger dancefloor feel. What to listen for is whether the turn feels exciting without making the whole drop lose its weight. If the groove starts to feel smaller after the turn, the movement is probably too wide, too long, or too busy. Now let's split the bass into 2 jobs. This is one of the most important parts of the lesson. Keep the sub on its own layer or in its own chain inside an instrument rack. That sub should be simple, centered, and stable. Think sine-like source or very restrained low harmonics. Use utility to keep the width at 0. Don't modulate it more than necessary. The sub is your authority. Then build a separate mid-bass layer for the character. That's where the Reese movement, distortion, filter bite, and articulation live. This layer can get more expressive because it's not carrying the entire low end. A very usable stock device chain would be something like operator or wave eatable into saturator, then auto filter, then EQ8. For the sub, keep it much simpler. Operator, EQ8, utility, nice and clean. If you need a rough starting point, saturator drive around 2 to 6 dB can give the mid layer some grit. Auto filter can sit anywhere from roughly 120 Hz up into the upper mids depending on how much bite you want. But don't just crank the filter for drama. Keep the movement focused. Why this works in D&B is because once the phrase becomes more animated, the low end can fall apart if one patch is trying to do everything. Splitting sub and character keeps the bass readable, and readability is everything when the drums are moving fast. Now we shape the turn with automation, but keep it narrow. A lot of people ruin a good bass line by automating too many things at once. More movement does not always mean more impact. Choose one or 2 things. Maybe the filter opens slightly into the turn. Maybe the saturator gets a little hotter on the last notes. Maybe the wave eatable position shifts just enough to add tension. Keep it disciplined. As a practical range, think subtle to moderate filter motion. Not a giant sweep. Think maybe 1 to 3 dB more drive in the turn than in the main loop. If you're using a resonant filter, keep the resonance modest so it doesn't ring out and blur the snare. What to listen for here is whether the turn feels like it's leaning forward. It should sound like it's pulling into the next bar. If you lose the root note and all you hear is modulation, you've gone too far. Pull it back. The movement should support the phrase, not replace it. Once the MIDI phrasing feels right, print it. Resample the bass turn to audio. This is where the lesson starts to feel more like real DNB editing and less like basic synth programming. Record the bass phrase to a new audio track, or freeze and flatten if that suits your workflow. Then chop it into the pieces you need. This captures the exact interaction between note length, distortion, filter motion, and transient shape, and in the style. That's gold. After printing, trim the tail so it doesn't collide awkwardly with the snare. Nudge a slice if the transient feels late or rushed. If you need extra lift into the next bar, try a tiny reverse or pickup fragment. Little moves can make a big difference here. And a good coach habit. Don't keep redesigning the sound just because the grid still looks visible. At this point, the quality lies in the edit and the placement. Commit to the performance feel. Now drop the printed audio back into the arrangement and test it against the drums. This part matters more than soloing the bass for too long. Solo is useful for checking clicks, tails, distortion artifacts, and technical problems. But the real test is always with the drums. What to listen for is whether the bass steals the snare's impact, whether the final note masks the kick, or whether the break and the bass are fighting over the same transient. If the turn feels late, move it slightly earlier. If it feels rushed, push it back a tiny bit. In DNB, a few milliseconds can completely change the attitude. That's not an exaggeration. If the snare still punches through and the bass feels like it's pushing the bar forward rather than landing on top of it, you're in the pocket. Now arrange the phrase so the turn matters. Put it at the end of a 2-bar or 4-bar cell, where it can act like punctuation. For example, 2 bars of stable groove, then the turn on the final beat, then maybe a drum fill or vocal stab response. Then the next phrase opens up. If you're building a second drop evolution, don't just make the turn louder. Change one detail. Raise one note an octave. Shorten the pickup. Swap the note order. Dirty the harmonic layer while keeping the sub identical. That keeps the identity intact, but the listener still feels progress. That's one of the most useful arrangement ideas in heavy DNB. Function first, evolution second. You want the turn to feel inevitable, not random. Now let's clean up the mix so this thing translates on club systems. Keep the sub mono. Keep the mid layer narrower than you might in a synth-led genre. Cut clutter in the low mids if the turn starts sounding boxy, usually somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz. If the distortion gets nasty in the upper mids, tame it around 2 to 5 kHz, and check the whole thing in mono. Not just the sub, the entire bass bus. If the turn collapses in mono, you're relying too much on stereo harmonics. In this style, low-end discipline wins. It often feels bigger when it's more controlled. Also, don't let the turn get exciting only because it's louder. If it's just level, it won't survive once the full drop is playing. Trim the chain so the turn has power without eating the whole mix. Here's a really good finishing habit. Print 2 versions of the turn. One cleaner and more controlled. One dirtier and more animated. The clean version is often better for the main drop when the drums are busy. The dirtier version can be perfect for the second drop or a more dangerous section. Version A is usually function. Version B is usually character. Keep both. A few extra advanced ideas are worth remembering here. A tiny gap before the final note can hit harder than adding another note. Sometimes absence is more aggressive than extra content. You can also try an octave split turn, where the sub stays on the root, while the mid layer jumps up for the last hit. That keeps the body stable while the ear hears a sharper change. Another strong move is a dirty last hit only approach. Keep the main phrase restrained, then add extra saturation just to the final note or two. That's a great second drop trick, because the listener recognizes the bass line, but the end of the phrase feels more dangerous. And always cross-check the bass against the snare tail. If the turn lands right on top of the snare release, the phrase can smear. Shift one element slightly. Shorten the bass envelope. Protect the snare's punctuation. So here's the core idea to take away. A jungle voltage style bass line turn is not a fill. It's a decision point. You stabilize the main loop, rebuild only the ending, split sub from mid character, keep the motion narrow, print it to audio, and make sure it works with the drums, not just by itself. If you can hear the phrase turning, if the low end stays solid in mono, and if the last half bar feels like it's dragging the loop into the next section, you've nailed it. Now take the exercise challenge. Build a 2-bar loop with drums and bass. Use only stock Ableton devices. Keep one sublayer fully mono. Write the turnaround using no more than 5 MIDI notes. Print 2 audio versions, one cleaner and one dirtier. Then test both against the drums and decide which one belongs in the main drop, and which one is ready for the evolved section. Do that, and you'll start hearing bass turns not as little extras, but as real phrase architecture. That's the difference between a loop and a drop.